found me a home up here. That's been a couple years in the making, and Amy was amazing with that and really helped me out a ton. Oh, there he is. Jared, I was going to tell you thank you for last night. Nicely done. That was on point, and those kids, that was such a great message for them. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Back then, I closed on a house on the south side of Denver and south side of Littleton. Started moving a few things up, so it'll be probably a couple years transitioning, but I'm excited about that. I started on this study, man, it's been a while back. I'd touched on it years and years ago and then just kind of kept growing. And I'd been working on it and getting everything ready, and then I left in such a hurry. I'll tell you a whole another story. I was leaving in such a hurry. I don't even know if it was 9:30. Were we supposed to start? I was leaving in such a hurry that I went to get a haircut, and I thought if I get two guys to do it, one on one side and one on the other, that I would get through faster. And you can see that the one on this side, the guy did it like the all-American old comb your hair, and the one on this side did like the American boy band side. I don't know what happened. It's all like two. I said, what? He goes, I've never given a bad haircut. I looked in the mirror. So anyway, I got out of there, and I took off so fast, I left all my notes in New Mexico. So we're good, but God's got it. The Holy Spirit has it, and he's the one doing the teaching anyway. So this study I started a long time ago was really started out about Noah. And then the more I backed up, I started working on this thing with the line of Seth. And there were so many things I started to notice about this. That in God's word, the book of Acts has no end because it's still being written by all of you. It's being written by the way we talk, the way we show ourselves, the way we expose people to this truth, the way we talk about this, the way we get emotionally so involved in this. And God has always recorded his line of the faithful. And if you'll notice in a lot of this that he records them exactly. And you can start from the very beginning that he's always kept track of that. You don't find out anything about Esau's kids. You don't find anything out about, we know about a little bit about Cain's line, that which we'll talk about. But for the most part, you're recorded in that book precisely. I'm a person, I've always loved math. Not enough to go to work doing it. Not to be an accountant or anything like that, but I've always loved it. I was fascinated as a child with the stars. I learned to do the math to where you don't have to do any more because now the apps do it for you, but you know, if any one of you takes your fist and holds that straight out at the horizon, each time you put your fist there, that is 10 degrees in the sky. Proportionally, it works exactly that for everybody. If you don't believe it, try it, because you'll go from 0 to 90 straight up. The thing I also used to do as a child was I was fascinated with time. You know that they say if you can move faster than the speed of light that you can actually go back in time. Well, what they really meant was that if you had a star explode and you didn't get a chance to study it, if you could move faster than the speed of light away from it, you'd get a chance to restudy it. Because you could get to a point where you would be able to see it again. Because it hadn't traveled that far, because you would be exceeding that. That's the way that theory evolved, right? I used to think about whether it was time travel or time being able to jump or being able to I think it probably came from the fact that my grandfather collected all these and my dad collected all these pocket watches. And each one of them would keep the same time, and one would quit, one would go, one would quit, and you just kept winding things. That doesn't work that way with God. Then I started thinking, and we're going to get into this study. I even made a little spreadsheet to give everybody. With God's people, with the Hebrews, anything that he ever did with them was precisely accurate. He doesn't do that with us with the church because he wants us to look. He wants us to study. He wants us to know. He wants us, because grace with God is love. Grace is the knowledge. Grace is the understanding. Grace is the caring. Grace is the growing. Growing grace and knowledge, right? Everything is by his grace. You've heard me say this before. You could go out here. We told everyone we lost a fortune out here. All of the state would show up to help you find it. Not understanding that truly the fortune and the riches are right here. And nobody wants to pick it up. My mom complained for years it was because of the weight of it. And I bought her one little Bible that was made of parchment paper. Didn't weigh anything. Still didn't pick it up. With us in time, you know, the life that lives in you has been alive forever. It's not even, you can't even call it forever. It's been. That's how he knew you before he hung a star in heaven. You are plugged into a conduit that has always been and always will be. And I can't wait to be there to really get that understanding of that we live in this, God created this capsule. If you think about God's time in a non-ending line, and he creates this capsule like this in the middle of, for us, for his son, that we could grow in love with him through faith, right? And inside of this, we got plugged into a line that has always been. He knew us before. He knew who we'd be. And it's not God's fault. People take that predestination thing and say, you know, you're going to heaven. You're going to hell. You're going to heaven. You're going to hell. That's not how it works. It's not God's fault. He knew what you're going to choose. So we choose him. When I used to look and think about the time like that and got started, I started to realize, and it's funny because I don't know where Chrisette went, but okay. With her grandmother, when, you know, at 80 years old, you're saved, filled, grow, and all this thing. Time to God doesn't matter. If you think about it like this, he could complete you like that. To us, it's like that. To him, it's what he needed. And as I started studying in this line of Seth, when I started going through this lineage and who these guys were, and started noticing that God recorded them and recorded their lives, at least in the Bible, counts the years, counts the years, and counts the years. And it made me start thinking, and we study this and we get closer to this, you'll see that in this line of righteous, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but from Seth down, Seth was really a type of that new creation. He replaced Abel. Abel was the old creation and he was the new. He's a type of the resurrected Christ. Abel before, Seth after. But he started going down through this time and I started thinking, you know, every one of these guys that lived, not a single one of them save Noah saw the flood. And the church, the same with us, the people that right before that, the translation will all happen. You know, there's the bridal translation, and then there's a translation before. The church will all be gone before that. Now, there will be people calling the name after that. We know that. We'll get to that part, too. Then I start thinking that God's timing isn't just years. It's not just days. It's not hours. It's not seconds. It's not even nanoseconds. If nanoseconds had nanoseconds, his timing is more precise than that. So that's what does that mean? That means God's timing is not right. It means timing is God. That everything that happens, happens because he spoke it. And everything that comes together and everything that happens is in perfect harmony with everything else that God has spoken. If we go back, I mean, and think about this, as we talk through this, because we want to talk about the names and what they mean. Years ago when we did the convention, it was one of the years that I really saw that how even geography is important to God. That how, if you really, I mean, it used to be under, I always wonder, I'll get this to be a study for tomorrow actually, but why put maps in the Bible? I mean, we know where all this stuff was at, and it was a bit free before. But after you start to realize that Canaan was the word of God, and that was God's side, that was the heaven side of it. And then there was the world side of it, and who walked in the world, and where Abraham walked. And Abraham, everything he did, never had to leave Canaan, save one trip to Egypt. Everything has been set up for us exactly. All this rain we've been having is God. And so going back to the timing, if nanoseconds had nanoseconds, and God's timing is that precise, counting the hairs on your head is nothing. He knows that. I mean, and Brother Webb's the easiest one to count, right? I love you, brother. And the more I got into this, and I'll give you this little handout here in a bit to see this, was seeing the beauty in everything that he puts down. Everything that he writes, everything that he says, everything that he put in there, how it all connected. Every one of these, every single one of these, the sons of Seth, line up with the churches. They line up with the parables. They line up with the days, we did the 7 days of creation last year. Precisely. All of it. It is incredible. And it's different topics, it's different things he's showing us, it's different places completely. Let there be light, Seth. Right? And to go through, and I started making notes, and again, I forgot all my stuff down in Mexico, and I started making notes about how each parallel goes through every one. You can take it, you'd almost have to cross references. If you took Adam, and then the line of Seth, and then you took every one of those other stories and put it next to it, side by side, they will all correlate precisely. If you put the ages on top of it, from the age of conscience, and go all the way across this, or there's innocence and conscience, and all the way across it, it lines up on top of it. It's uncanny. God gives us, in this study, we are going to talk about the line of Seth. Turn their Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. It seems like it's quieter on this side. I want to read, and I'm going to bounce in and out of this, and read a little out of Genesis 5. We'll probably back up into 4 a little bit, but we won't need much of it. When God created man in Genesis, he said, let's create him in our image and our likeness. Listen to how he starts this. Let me go ahead. No, I'm not. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. So he's missing it. It's different, right? You look in Ephesians 4:4, we're made holy and righteous in this new creation, right? Verse 2 says, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. There's something missing. There is no mention of Cain and Abel. This is a new birth. This is a recreation. This is a start again. This is like God wiped the slate clean and started back with Seth. From Adam, he didn't say Cain. He didn't say Abel. He goes straight to Seth. This is what makes Seth such a beautiful type of that new creation, of that resurrected Christ, the life that lives in us, right? And in verse 4 it says, and the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. The other thing I didn't realize until after I really started going through this was that these guys all really knew each other. I mean, at one point, one of those guys would have brought a son up to Seth, if we start there at Seth, and brought him to him, 800 and some years down, and he goes, whose kid are you? But they, literally, can you think of the family reunion or these guys getting together? And these guys didn't, they weren't going like they were going across the world. These guys were in the same place. They knew Noah was building the ark. In the same thing, I actually tried to put in there how many years they knew Noah. And how many years they spent together. And how many years they were this, I mean, Seth was only, I forget, 14 years from knowing the last one. Adam was around long enough to know the majority of them. And we don't, you know, you don't think that way when we look back at that and think that all this thing, but these guys were living 800 years. They had the, if you think about this line, this is the line that said, and we'll read this, where they started to call on God, right? And that means that those guys, Lamech, Methuselah, all those guys that were right there before Noah, they believed him. They believed him. But they didn't get to that point. God took them out before that. They were taken out of through death. They never got to see the judgment, or never had to see the judgment. The type that's so pretty in that and so beautiful about that is that if we take in the time that we live, this church isn't going to see the flood. It's just amazing that he puts all this together. I was just driving this morning, got all teary-eyed thinking about this timing thing, and I forget who I was talking to this morning, and they get the same thing, that this is the time that we're here together right now. He knew that. Yeah. He knew how many hairs were on all of our heads put together right here. He knew the nanoseconds of when anything was going to happen. It's all because he spoke. He tracked these guys. We look at the line of Cain, and I'm going to probably cover things twice, and then these guys were the progressive builders. Let's go, we're going to make the bridges, we're going to do it. He built a city. And as these guys were going through this, they were conquering, they were creating, they were doing this, and not once is that recorded of any of these other guys other than Noah built an ark. Of the faithful line, God recorded the days. It is from one end to the other, and so what do you think is important to him? What they built? We know the answer to that because that's what all happened with Cain and Abel in the first place. Look what I did. What Abel bring? The first things of the flock, right? What's God want? The blood or heart? That's what he wants us to see. That's what he wants us to come to. He wants, it was like we were talking about before, 80 years old, saved, filled, growing, on the course, running. And I can tell you God had plenty of time for her to attain to everything. It's just amazing to me. And we were talking a little bit ago too, we were all sitting there at breakfast and there were so many of us that were born into this message, and then there's so many that came to this message. There's so many of us that came even late to the message, and there's times I wish I would have, like Jared said last night, I wish I would have been able to come through youth camp, you know, going through all that and growing up through it. But I thank God I'm here. No matter what the path or how I got here, somewhere or another, God knew I would be here, and I thank Him for it. I guess it's like thinking if you imagine Lot. Lot was righteous. We knew it was. We're told that. But he spent most of his time where? In Egypt, in the world, Sodom and Gomorrah. But he walked into Canaan the very same day that Abraham did. And he chose a different path. And he chose the Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham stayed up there. This line of Seth, God records all the number of the days, but think about the testimony that they had during those days. Anybody in this room, God's not worried about what we've done, or what we've got, or where we've been, but who we are and Him, right? This line I think about with, and I always, you guys have heard me say this before, that I would try and put myself in Scripture. And I try and picture the scene or picture what was going on. You know, I get, you know, and how God had Isaac carry up the wood to be sacrificed, just as Christ carried a cross of wood to be sacrificed. I mean, it amazes me that people don't see that the whole Bible is just about Jesus. I mean, we had a talk the other day. I just had to walk away. This lady was like, well, Jesus was born that day. He never was before. Like, that didn't even say that. Even in the New Testament, but some people you can't argue with, you can't debate with, you can't. It was okay. But when you start to see how intricate the Word of God is, how complex the Word of God is, but how simple in Christ the Word of God is. And I think about Paul. All those days in the wilderness out there, and he was in all this revelation and stuff. You know where the revelation came from? From the Word. He knew the Old Testament. He knew that Word better than anybody. And all of a sudden, all he needed to do was to get that switch turned on, Jesus. And go, whoa, this whole thing. I mean, I can't even imagine. I would love to see him think and look at Genesis 24 and go, whoa, that's who I am. I'm her. And it's nuts to me. Going back, I said, you know, it's funny as I thought about this this morning, that all these guys knew each other. And I got to think about Living Waters. It's kind of like all the families here too. Everybody really had known each other for generations, right? And that's the beauty of what God wants. It's carried on and carried on and carried on. So let's see how you're going. I wrote down some notes here, trying to recover from the ones I got lost or left. This is what I started out with, uncovering these mysteries, the things we're talking about. Uncovering the mysteries in the Word of God is joy to Him. It's joy to Jesus. It's joy to the Holy Spirit. It's joy, joy, joy doing this. And it's not about... We talk about grace. And the thing I like about it, the camp, the youth camp, we can get the deep little picked studies that we can get into and get real deep into it. And the message is grace. The message is growth. The message is us growing up in Him, right? But if He didn't want us to know and to learn and to uncover and reveal, for Him to be able to reveal this to us, He wouldn't have put it like this. But He did. He put these years, He put these dates, because it keeps us there, it keeps us there. And once we see one thing and then how it relates to another and how it comes to another, we want it more. I was so excited when I started putting all this together and putting everything across there. Let there be light, Seth. And it's the light in us. The day we're born again, right? There's a new life in you that has been there forever. Then it comes the time thing and you take it across. You couldn't have a palette big enough to paint it. Only He could. It takes the universe. It takes Him to be able, to talk, to speak for all these things to come to be and to be this complex and this intricate and this intertwined, this connected, the joints for all of us. The arc. That arc was put together and didn't leak. This body is connected the same way. This church, us, we are connected exactly the same way. This body is perfect. And it's growing, and we're getting closer to Him. We're growing in that grace. We're growing in that knowledge. We're growing in love. And grace is all of it. Grace is the knowledge. Grace is the faith. Grace is the love. Grace, it's God's grace. Grace, unabounding, manifold grace. And as we come to see this, it gets us involved, because I hope everybody takes this and goes through, and I hope someone actually goes through and checks my math on this thing, because I worked and worked and worked trying to put this little spreadsheet together and checked and double-checked and double-checked to go over there. And I know one is right for sure, because God said it was. And that's because in the same year that Methuselah died, the flood came. So at least at that point. But everybody, please double-check that, okay? The next thing I said is we were meant to fellowship with Him. Adam was created perfect. You know, we talked about this in a study years ago, too. He wasn't created as some mumbling, bumbling guy that had to figure everything out. He was created perfect. He fellowshiped with God in the cool of the day. God saw fit that he should not be alone and created a helpmate for him, fit for him. I don't know if you guys remember this. I remember God showed me this vision. When he named a horse, he would have stroked that horse. You'll carry us. And if you think about this, I mean, every single thing God, Adam would have taken with the utmost heart in how he said it, how he named it, how he did it. The love that he had for her, I mean, it says Adam wasn't deceived. So why did he bite the apple? Because he loved her. Why did Jesus take the cross? Because he loves us. It's amazing. I'm going to end up in a whole other study. I had another one that I'm going to tell you anyway because we'll probably talk about it tomorrow. You know, back when I talked at the convention, that he gave up something for us. And I mean, we're talking the equal with God. The Father and I are one. But then in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, then now he himself will be subject to God. When I first started, I was like, why in the world would you do that? If you were already here, why would you go be subject? This is what grace will teach you. That wasn't a step down, it was a step. And it was a step in the desire and the word and the plan of God. And it was the perfect one. A helpmate fit for him. Because he wasn't lonely in the heavens, was he? No. No. But God saw fit that he should have a helpmate fit for him. So grace now, I don't see the grace is growing enough in me and showing me enough, and God's showing me enough in this grace that now I see it as the ultimate step. The most beautiful step. That was God coming up with this. The wisdom, the true wisdom in all of this is baffling. There's no way, and then you get knuckleheads to say that men wrote this book. How could it all be intertwined if there's all these different authors? There's one author, right? We were meant to fellowship with him, and Jesus gave us that back. Now we fellowship with him. When he went to that cross, he brought us fully to the throne of grace. We can be in there. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I can't think of a single time that I'm not in need. Not one. If nanoseconds had nanoseconds, I'm in need of those nanoseconds too. Because I need and I want and I can't wait. And I'm impatient. So he wants us to have faith. A faith so great we can't even embrace it anymore. A faith so great that it's not believing, it's knowing. Like what you said last night, that people say, he did. He says, I will, and the believer says, he did. I've seen it. I've seen him do things for me that it is unbelievable. I mean, I thought I was going to have to do something for. I fasted one time for about buying a house down there closer to the church and fasted. And at the end of the fast, I thought, well, nothing happened. And then the next few days, the house just came. And what I realized was I'm just impatient. And God's got it. And it happens in a way that we don't even realize it happened. Think of all the things that God does in our life and all the things that happen, the things that we pray for and expect or look for and then never even realize it happened or didn't happen. I've had it happen I don't know how many times where I'm just either a knucklehead or I don't realize that when I finally realize it happened, it may have been a long time ago and realize it happened a long time before. It's trust. you have two natures at war within us. Scripture tells us that. And I'm telling you, they're at war. There is nothing holy about this flesh. Nothing. This is a dead horse to God. There's a life in here. That's the life that's growing. That's the life that he wants to see come to the illumination of the sun. From candlelight to sunlight. You know, we talk to people all the time, and we see this. If we look holy, we must be holy, right? Looking holy is not going to get you fellowship with God. That heart, that mind, those knees, that's going to get us there. And that praying without ceasing, it's just communication, it's talking, it can be complaining. God doesn't care. Just talk, right? He said, Genesis chapter 4:8, and I'll just read this to you. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up and against Abel, his brother, and slew him. We know why. We kind of just touched on it. They both brought an offering to God. Cain brought something he had done. Look how good I am. Look what I've done. Look at my performance. And Abel brought blood. When the word says that he was wroth, right? That he was so upset. I mean, obviously it's upset enough to kill him. We'll get to the Cain's line a little bit too. The last son of that line that we're going to talk about actually said, well, if he could get away with it, I can get away with it. If he can kill, I can kill. That's that line. That's that worldly line. Abel means a vapor or a breath. I used Brother Ty's notes a lot too. I always do, actually, because he's got a... And actually, Brother, we're going to have to figure out what the number 969 means, because I seem to find that a lot now. The Jackson thing, with we get the names and stuff. Our life is but a vapor. It happens. And to God, I mean, we're a sizzle in the pan. This thing happens so fast, and then we put so much on it, and we put so much on the world, and so much on this stuff. And believe me, I'm telling you, if God gave you a good job, work. He doesn't want us to not work. He doesn't want us to do this. He wants us to be. He wants us to. God has blessed us with so many things. He blessed you with your breath. He blessed you with the ability to get here. He blessed us with so many things, and we have to look at him and thank him for it. And he blessed us with the ability to pick this thing up, and he blessed us with a heart that loves him enough that he can reveal it to us. Amen. Amen. Because he put that heart in there. He put that heart in you. And you have a heart that desires him. That's why we're here. We must remember that we are not of this world, that our very lives are a vapor, right? A breath within eternity that we will look back on and praise Almighty God for creating us for his purpose. A breath within eternity. Think about that. There is no way that if you take what God considers, because God doesn't consider time, it's eternity. It's almost impossible for us to even conceive something without a beginning and an end. That's the way we are. We have one. Our families had one. Our fathers had one. And obviously, the mankind has one. But God doesn't. So not only are we a vapor within that little capsule I was talking about in there, we're a vapor, a breath within all of it. Who knows how many stars are in the sky? At computer count right now, we think there's like 200 sextillion skies. I don't know how many that is. It's a lot. And there's more. And he spoke them up there. The farthest reaches of it that we can't even see, he knows exactly where it sits and exactly how far it is from the third hair on your head. the complexity of it, the more and more I see this, and I know we all get this, the more and more I see, the more and more I study, the more and more I look at this, that it's so connected. It literally, and it's not wavering. It's perfectly aligned. Perfectly aligned. As we go through these guys, we're going to tell you every single day of creation. When we went through that, we talked about that last year with the earth, as it grew and it started to blossom and it started to grow and there was life and it was saying it was the exact same thing as what these sons were. Every name means that. Growth spiritually. It's and we could take. I mean, I tried to go through all the stories I could think of, and all the accounts of, that God has given us, and all this to apply to it. But it's almost every single one that the parables of Matthew 13 are the seven churches. And both of those overlay this. Both of those overlay the creation. So if you start a creation, those 7 days are recreation, technically, all that, and put everything on top of it and everything beside it, it just all aligns. Genesis chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For God, as she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call on the name of the Lord. This is our line. Calling on the name of the Lord. These guys started to call on the name of the Lord. And if you really think about that, that passed down, all of these guys are tracked from Jesus all the way back, from Jesus all the way the other way, and everybody to every single one of us. God knows exactly where you sit, exactly where the line was, exactly where it was. He knows that you are in that book. He knows that he is tracking everything in your life because you are the faithful. We are the faithful. And the proof is, as we go through this, that he doesn't track any of the other guys. He talks about some of their deeds. He talks about what they did, and this is what they did. Guys, we built this, whatever they did. But not a mention of the days. Not a mention of, to the point, even he didn't care about the days. These guys, we'll look in scripture as we go through this, that those days meant nothing to him. But everybody else he tracked in this. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." But when he gives these types, and even we take shadows about, Genesis 24 and Abraham and Eliezer and Isaac and Rebekah, and gives us a whole picture of the bridal race and what he was looking for. Why did the Holy Spirit come down here? Why he didn't send Jesus back? Because remember, Eliezer asked him, "Why don't we just take Jesus back there and show him?" Well, I mean, I'm digging it. Why don't we just take Isaac back there and show him? My son won't go back there again, right? We understand this bridal truth and understand this, can overlay that exactly and see this. And another thing I've learned is we can never take types and shadows or that and try and show doctrine. It doesn't work. A person has to understand the doctrine part to be able to see that side. I don't know why that came out, but Seth is that perfect new life in that. Abel was lost, so that would be in our job here. Excuse me. That Jesus before death, and Seth, the Jesus after. Now, don't forget, this is just a picture, right? He was still, Seth was still part of the old creation. That didn't change him anyway. So God gave us this so we could see it and understand it. So let's talk about the types that Seth represents. I put it in a personal aspect. He is the new creation in us after we accept Jesus. Make sense? So in a personal aspect, he is the new creation in us. He's the life that's in us now. That's the life that replaced Abel. Remember when Eve just said that he gave me a son to replace him. Seth is a type of that new creation. Our born again spiritual life. It's Christ formed in us. It's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. We bear fruit, just like Seth did. We're going to count the sons down, and obviously those sons go way, 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 way farther. And another thing we'll notice too, that what God counts is the firstborn through every one of them. He numbers the years from the time they were born to the time they had the first, and then there, from that day till death. But then states that after the first one, he had lots of sons and daughters. But we have no account of those. But we're going to believe through that in this line of the faithful, that scattered down all the way to here. We're going to, we grow as Christians. We're a new life resurrected with Jesus. It's not I that liveth, but he that liveth. I don't know. We are lifted out of ourselves. That's why. There's no more I live but Christ, our new living. In this, now talking about Jesus Christ, he's powerful. He is the resurrection. He is the Almighty. He is the King. He's our Savior. He's the bridegroom. When he puts these, and we see this in the life of Joseph all the way from beginning to end, that we see that when Pharaoh, when he got his wife, Pharaoh presented her, right? He didn't pick her. The Godhead in the story presented him his wife. The Godhead in our story, the God in our story, is going to do the same thing to Jesus. That's who lives in us. That's who paid the penalty for us. He gave us back access to God that Adam lost. Okay, Genesis 5:1 is where we read that already. This is the book of generations of Adam. Chapter 4 was about the line of Cain, how they built cities, named them after themselves. They were craftsmen. This is all recorded, raised cattle, and recorded as deeds accomplished on their own. Not relying on God and doing this. And we're going to get to this because this is a huge, huge thing that's going on right, that has always gone on. But as we get to the end, Peter talked about this, Paul talked about this. The line of Seth is different, though. Every life of the sons of Seth is recorded from the year in their father's life to the year that they were born and the year that they died, right? We aren't recorded for our accomplishments. None of those guys were recorded for their accomplishments. You will not find it. It's not in there. But God adores the faith in you, just like he adored the faith in them and recorded it. And if we think for one second that he doesn't know the days of our life, that's kind of weird. That understands the amount of time we're going to be here, and every little thing, and every heartbeat that goes on in you, and every breath that goes on us, we are not giving enough credit because he loves you that much. The line of Cain, these guys were progressive pioneers of civilization. And I'm going to tell you something, too. This is important because if you go back and even the book of Daniel, and we take the empires that have existed always, right? Every one of these empires was for purpose. You know, if you go all the way back, think about this. And it began, first it was becoming a people, conquer. And then when the Greeks come along, they gave us a language. Because remember, there was a time where no one knew what the other ones were saying at all. But now the Greeks, they form us this language. Then the Romans come along. You know what they do? They interconnect everything. Roads were built. Commerce came along. Everything happened. And why? Because God knew that had to happen. I don't have my cell phone, I guess, but oh, I do. Do you think this isn't part of his plan? everyone will see, that everything that happens, everyone will know, that everything will be. I mean, he thought that out way before Elon Musk or Steve Jobs did, because it was all a plan. Every one of those empires, that the Roman Empire never even really ended, is still going. But to do all that, God had to have, for us to be here, for everything to happen that happened with Paul, for everything that had to happen throughout history, all of this had to happen. And God made it. These guys, you know why these guys built cities? So you could live in them. You know why they built roads? So you could drive on them. Do you know what? This is God's plan, because God sees this way. He wants us, I mean, think about this. Why did God give us all a vehicle or a ride to get here? Because he knew we'd be here today, right? His descendants to this day are the great men of the world. They were the giants that we read about in Scripture, right? So here's where we get to talk about the line of Cain and where they end up, or what's going to happen. Because think about this. It records their deeds, right? Built the city, named it after myself, right? But what do you think he was saying about God? I did this. My forefather Cain killed that guy. I could do it. That's what Lamech's going to say. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person," listen to this, "a preacher of righteousness." Remember we talked about maybe that wasn't it. Think about the things that you learn from your families, that you learn from your family, and the things that you were taught, how to work, how to believe, faith, pray. These guys that knew Noah heard him. Those guys from the Cain's line heard him and despised him. All those other ones that knew him for all those years, and I'll give you this little handout, for all those years, believed him. Says here, he was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. We'll get back to Peter, because this is the thing. Today is just like then. They say that nothing from the past has even changed. Where is your God? That's the way they look at this. Those guys thinking them knuckleheads up at Lafray up there wasting a day talking about Jesus and doing all this stuff, they think it's insane. With no idea how connected and how beautiful and the privilege and the opportunity that God has given us, and what he has put out there for us to attain to. It's amazing. And God says, "I will cause them to come worship at your feet." This is, is incredible. It is wild. It's, and you would think, whoa. We better we'll take a break. It's already 10:30, 10:20. Maybe this is gonna go all 2 days. Yeah, let's get to 10:30 and we'll stop. Let me see if I have to get a good part to stop here. Can I get some help handing these out? I don't think I have enough for everybody, so couples will probably have to share. And that'll give everyone else a little bit of chance to look at this too. If not, we'll make some more copies too. I want everyone to see this because as you look at these, the way it starts out here is I start out with Adam being born year zero, right? And then next column I put in, he's the age of what he was when that person's son was born. And then the total years on earth, the year they died, and the years that they knew Noah. And the reason I want to make sure we incorporate Noah into this is because that was leads up to the flood. As we talk about this, we're going to understand how these guys throughout the age represent different parts of this age, but that Noah, through that flood, represents Israel. Israel will go through tribulation and come out on the other side brand new. And they will see Jesus for who he is. And they will know who they crucified. Even that, it's funny because, when Joseph took that cup and stuck it on Benjamin and hid it on him, and he left, and it forced him to have to come back, that's exactly what's going to happen with Israel. That's what that whole story is about. That he goes over there and he hits that cup, and he's got to come back up there to him. And then realizes who he is. It's wild how it all connects. But you'll see that. So that's how. And then I want you to notice too, that we don't have to look through. If you notice Methuselah, Enoch, as we get here, and I'll explain this as we're going. Enoch's going to represent the bride, translated before. Never going to see the Antichrist. Methuselah will be the rest of that church, represent the rest of that church, and is gone. But if you notice the year of the flood and the year that Methuselah was taken is the same year. Kids, I'm wild. So, okay, let's take 10 minutes. We're going to go to the restroom and everything, and then we'll get going.